We worship you, Lord. We honor you, Lord. We appreciate you. Be glorified. Be honored. And be adored. In Jesus' precious name, say something to us tonight that will live with us the rest of our lives. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap of hands as you take your seat in the presence of the Lord. I want to appreciate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for bringing to pass His word that we heard, that He spoke to us many, many years ago. At the beginning of the ministry, when we began to speak about nations coming to take fire back to their nations, it looked highfalutin, it looked impossible. But we have tonight over minimum of 14 nations already on day one. And then, with more being expected, more are registering that we don't even have their record now. That is, nations catching fire practically. I said, God will not leave us, and we will not leave God. Someone say amen. And we say that no one who has traveled from these distances will return back the same in Jesus' name. Speaking tonight on the subject, a royal priesthood - priestly kings and kingly priests. Priestly kings and kingly priests. 1 Peter chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 9 all the way to verse 10. It says, but they are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Royal priesthood. Our objective tonight is to understand God's agenda for priestly kings and kingly priests. Understanding God's agenda for priestly kings and kingly priests. And number two, understanding our way into that realm or into those realms. I want to start by way of introduction by saying that God in this end time is raising two sets of people. Priestly kings and kingly priests. What is that? Priestly kings are people in places of influence and authority that you see and you think you are seeing a priest. They are kings, priestly kings. That is, kings that are priests. And then the second one are priests that are kings. I'm sure you understand what I'm talking about. Priestly kings are people who combine royalty, prosperity, with spiritual authority. Royalty, prosperity, and spiritual authority. They may be the president of a nation.
They may be the head of a corporation. They may be big time billionaires. But when you see them, it didn't stop there. You see them with the authority of priesthood. When you see them, you thought you are seeing a pastor. Until they told you this is a billionaire. On the other hand, the kingly priests are originally priests. But when you look at them, they carry the aura of royalty, the aura. When an airport some time ago and a man met me and he came to see me and said, "Excuse me, sir, you are the ambassador of which country, please?" "So why do you ask?" He said, "Because everything about you look like somebody like that." I think he was an ambassador too or something like that. "You are the ambassador of which nation, please?" I am going to start tonight with priestly kings. And I'm going to see example from scriptures. People with royalty, prosperity, and spiritual authority. Our first example will be Abraham. Many people thought that Abraham was first and foremost maybe a called priest. That was not what Abraham was first and foremost. Abraham was a billionaire businessman. An industrialist. In Genesis 13 and in verse 2, the Bible told us of how Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. In Genesis 24 and in verse 1, the Bible talked about how God, Abraham was old, stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed him in all things. In Genesis 24, verse 35, Abraham's servant was saying, "And the Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses." That was the kind of man Abraham was. Abraham was such a wealthy man, influential man, a royalty, until himself had a private army. In Genesis chapter 14 and in verse 14, the Bible talked about how Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive. He armed his trained servants that were born in his house, 318, and pursued them to that. This was Abraham fighting the army of five nations. Only him. The land of Sodom, Gomorrah, and so on could not face these people. Abraham faced them with his army and defeated them. Maybe that army will be like the Black Waters or so of America, or any of those private army. Abraham had that. He had enough stature. He had the stature of a nation as a person. But that was not what was most interesting about Abraham. Genesis 20 verse 7. God gave us the qualification of Abraham. "Now therefore," he was telling Abimelech, "restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet." When last did you see a billionaire that is a prophet? "Restore the man his wife, for he is..." If it is a man that is talking, you can doubt him. But it was God who was calling a man a prophet. That is, he is a man with whom I speak. I talk to him mouth to mouth. He stands before me, I discuss with him. When was the last time you saw a bank owner that has a prophetic man too?
He's not a full-time pastor. He's not interested in full-time pastoring. He's not trying to open a ministry. He is just prophetic. Most of the billionaires and millionaires and Christian people we have in church, most of them, some are so bankrupt of spiritual authority. I want you to understand that God is doing a change of dynamics. That it is that being a billionaire does not excuse you from strategic spiritual mantles. I think if I stop here, I've already overpreached today. Some people think that spirituality belongs to those who don't have work. Unemployed singles. Young men who don't have much to do with their life. I am already established in business. I am a very, very wealthy man. What is it to pray? My wife is doing the prayer for me. But something is changing. And in this season and at this time, even under this platform, we are going to see billionaires. By the time you see them in the workplace, you will think you are seeing a pastor. You will think you are seeing a prophet until he tells you he's not a president of a ministry. He's just a worker in his church, submissive to his pastor, but he carries a very dangerous mantle. And I am not talking of those who think that they have some gifts in their life until they don't need a pastor anymore. Because there are some so-called rich people who quickly try to open ministry. And then employ their own pastor. And then give their seed and offering and tithe to the same thing they opened. I've seen a couple of them. One invited me one day to come. I thought he was a serious human being. He invited me one day to come and preach in his so-called ministry. I went there, sat down. He introduced me and took off. Too big to sit down. Took off and then he will come back and just look and then take off. I said, what? I'm in the wrong place. Next time he say, are you coming? I say, come where? Me? Do you know who you are dealing with? Just open the franchise. I'm not talking of that type. I am talking of authentic people. Genuine, real people. They carry authenticity with humility. That is not the kind of thing I'm talking about. I'm not talking of somebody hurrying to open up a thing. I am talking of somebody. You are a well-versed billionaire. You are a king in your domain. But there is a mantle that you sense, that you carry, that you are functioning with under authority. Take your seat. We are going a bit far this night. Kingly or priestly kings. Example number 2, Job. In Job chapter 1 verse 1, we saw the man called Job in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels. And 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of Israel. That was how great this man called Job was. If you look at Job chapter 1 verse 10, you will see God describing the greatness of Job further. Satan was speaking. He said, "Hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." But look at the practice of Job. Job chapter 1 verse 5. As big as this man was, the richest in his days, the wealthiest in his days, it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings, according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons may have sinned and caused God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Job was continually behaving literally like a priest, offering burnt offering sacrifices, standing in the gap. Challenge with Job is that he puts fear inside the whole of the process. But this was Job's practice. In Job 42 and in verse 10, we saw how Job was able to pray for his friends until God turned their captivity. This was the man called Job. Wealthy, massive, influential, rich, but deeply spiritual, notoriously spiritual. Number three example, Esther. Esther in Esther chapter 4 and in verse 16, the Bible spoke about Esther. Now, for you to understand the stature of Esther, Esther chapter 1 verse 1 will tell you what Esther had influence over. The Bible said it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus. This is Ahasuerus, which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia, over 127 princes. That is, take your journey from Ethiopia, stretch it across Mediterranean or the Red Sea or whatever, and stretch it all the way to India, and everything between Ethiopia and India was under the rule of King Ahasuerus and his wife Esther. She was not the first lady of a nation. She was the first lady of a continent, a subcontinent. A subcontinental first lady. In our generation today, that position is enough to make a person be worshipped as a god. But that was not Esther. Now, if you look at Esther chapter 4 verse 16, Esther was not just a praying machine. Esther had a force of praying women. "Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." When was the last time you saw somebody highly influential who did not employ people to fast for him, but fasted with them? It is easy for the governor to say, "I have people behind me, and pay for them to fast." It's another thing altogether for you to be in the forefront of the fast. Is God speaking to anybody here at all? This is the kind of people God will be raising. When the billionaire is a chronic faster like a pastor, because he knows the terrain he's engaging in. He knows that occultic people are, there are witches that are in the business you are doing. He's wearing suit in the day, but he's a witch in the night. A wizard. He's a grandmaster in a cult. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? They look at you and they are wondering at your God. And many of us are just coming so plain without any backing, no fire, no force, in front of those who are offering blood sacrifice to devils. It's a new day. It's a new day. I speak to somebody here. I see fresh fire coming upon you. If you are that one that is experiencing that fresh fire, shout the loudest amen. Say amen like a believer. A louder. the believers, say amen.
An army of fasting and praying maidens. That was the first lady of the subcontinent named Esther. Number four example, David. This one interests me so much. David was one of the wealthiest and most influential kings that ever lived. David is the reference king of Israel. Is. Jerusalem became named the city of David. Any king who did well, did like David. Who didn't do well, did like Jeroboam. Reference for good.
Do you know what David did spiritually? First and foremost, David recruited 4,000 worshippers. In 1 Chronicles 23 and in verse 5, 4,000 worshippers. Moreover, 4,000 were potters, and 4,000 praised the Lord with the instruments which I made, said David, to praise therewith. 4,000 worshippers that worshipped by rotation for 40 years in what was called the Tabernacle of David.
Your own praise in the temple is 6 a.m. to 9 a.m.
Your own session is 9 a.m. to 12. Yours is 12 to 3. Yours is 3 to 6. You, this group, it is 6 to 9. This other group is 9 to 12. This other group is 12 midnight to 3 a.m. This other group is 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. By rotation, man every watch for 40 years. No wonder God said, I like the temple of Solomon, but I want to resurrect the tabernacle of David. In those days, God says, I will restore the tabernacle of David and repair the breaches. Solomon's temple had gold, but David's tabernacle had praise.
That is why I said, of all the buildings in the Old Testament, that one was a tabernacle that had curtains and things and things. But that is the one I prefer. I will restore the tabernacle of David. Restoration of the tabernacle of David is the restoration of the revival of worship.
That is not all.
David was among them. He invented music equipment. He was writing, receiving and writing the songs they were singing.
David. He was the instrumentalist among them.
David. All the psalms that David wrote and the songs he sang, you thought that he wrote them and sang them before he became king? You are mistaken. Some came before. Some while Saul was pursuing him. Plenty while he was king. Can I ask you a question? Please tell me the last time you saw a billionaire as the church drummer. The man is the head of his organization, but he is the drummer of the church.
David was the king of the most powerful nation on the earth, and he was an instrumentalist.
Where did we get the notion that it is only young men that have no job and no wife that should be church instrumentalists? Something has to change in our generation. Something has to change. When was the last time you saw a governor as keyboardist? David was the president. He was the head of government. When was the last time you saw the bank manager or the owner of the bank as the bass guitarist?
See how we just carry our lives? And I'm a big man. I came to church. I have done God favor by attending church. And I've done the pastor favor by coming to church. I'd like you to get this message to everyone you know. Oh, yeah, the choir, you come for rehearsal.
David was not just he was a choir master. He was music director.
Directing instrumentalist. I'm talking of kingly priests. Priestly kings. You saw them, they are established and settled financially. But they are lost in God and His service. They are established. They are the head of their organization. They are the topmost top in their field, in their realms, in their domains. But they are servants inside church. Somebody say amen.
Big manship does not mean being given a preferred sitting position in church.
No. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. David, in Acts chapter 2 and in verse 29, look at how the Bible called him a prophet. This man was a king and yet a prophet. The Bible said, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day, verse 30. Therefore, being a prophet, David, being a prophet, knew that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he will raise up Christ to sit on his throne. This man was king. He didn't carry title prophet, oh. So there are many title carriers who have no business with the title they are carrying. He didn't carry the title prophet, no title apostle. But he was a messianic prophet. He foresaw thousands of years ahead of his time. He saw beyond the resurrection. When he saw the Lord say to my Lord, sit down at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. That was an event happening after Christ had already resurrected, that David was seeing from his time as a king.
Ola, ola.
David was a priest. You remember after they brought the Ark of the Covenant back and they were dancing and so on in 2 Samuel chapter 6, David offered offerings, offered sacrifices directly. They were a priest. So priests are sacrifices, prophets are prophetic declarations, kings are rulers and dominions. David was in all of this as a king. God is looking for priestly kings. And I believe someone is here like that. And I believe someone is hearing me wherever you are. Because you are about to see promotion like never before. Finally, let me talk about Daniel in this realm. I pray that my time will not fail me tonight. Daniel. Priestly King Daniel. That was a man who was Daniel chapter 1 verse 20 to 21. Daniel, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. First year of King Cyrus. From Nebuchadnezzar to Belshazzar to Darius to Cyrus. Daniel, only you. 71 years of being in public office. 71 years. I'm talking of civil servant. Daniel was not the kind of person you are thinking of as a politician, really. He was political and had political appointments, but he was more like a public servant. Consider him secretary to the government of the federation or something like that. And this man had integrity that was notorious. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. Daniel proposed in his heart that he will not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. This man had a rigid prayer altar. Daniel chapter 6 verse 10. When Daniel saw that the decree was sealed, Daniel went into his house, his windows being open, and chambers towards Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Somebody say amen. But you know what is most drastic about Daniel? This public servant, civil servant, but top ranking, to the point where he was more like second in command to the president. This man was doing 21 days fasting like water. That is not all. This man was talking with angels like you talk with person. I am Gabriel, I'm the man Gabriel. He said, then the man Gabriel appeared to me. How many civil servants you know who are in that realm? Who will not run out and say they are now pastors? That is not all. This man who was not in the office time, in the full time office of the prophet like Isaiah, was full time prophetic office. Jeremiah, full-time prophetic office. This man, who was a public servant, was a messianic prophet in the class of Isaiah. You don't understand what I'm talking about? It's like a part-time student that is doing work. When I was a medical student and I went to preach for the first time in the medical students fellowship, she was in that meeting and they were all asking each other, where did this guest minister come from? Because it was impossible for a student to minister like this. It was impossible. With the weight of unction, weight of word and flow of oil. The number of people that were still remaining on their feet in that meeting can be counted. Without a touch, everywhere they were dropping. This is 30 something years ago. I mean, people dropping under power, 30-something, not today. Am I communicating at all? When was the last time you saw someone who is not a pastor, but was operating almost like a pastor, and that was not enough to blow his head and take him out of church, but remain in humility? Beloved brothers and sisters, I see a fresh mantle coming. That amen can be better. That amen can be better. That amen can be better. If you are a believer, shout the loudest amen. If you are a believer, shout the loudest amen. I can go on and on. But in our days, I've come across people who are priests, kings that are priests. I came across the story of Kenneth Hagin, a man in his ministry who had never lost a business. He had an upper room in his place, upper room. In that upper room, he wants to make a business decision, he goes there. He has never lost an investment. I was in the office of a man. It was around 12 noon. And there was fire everywhere, prayer going on. I say, what is going on here? He said, that is how it goes on here every single day. Prayer, fire. As at that time, he told me that he was making daily sales of about 150 million. Daily. At that time, they were selling vehicles. And at times, a whole government can come and pick 1 point something billion worth of vehicles. The whole place was on fire. And then one of our brethren Once in a week, he's transacting in billions. Once in a week, everything shuts down for his time between him and God. And at a certain time of the year, things will shut down. No office, nothing. Just to face God. Evangelism, he is the head of evangelism department in his church. If he writes one and he puts 90 behind, the check will not bounce. Head of evangelism, fire, passion. But in a short while to come, somebody seated here, that shall be your testimony. Say a louder amen. Say a louder amen. Say the loudest amen. I have just talked about kingly priests. Let me quickly talk about priestly kings. No, priests, I just talk about priestly kings. That is, kings that carry a priesthood mantle. I'm now talking of the second one, which is kingly priests. These ones are basically pastors, men of God, servants of the Most High God, that have the aura. They combine the spirituality of the priest with the dignity of the king. Kingly priests. The spirituality of the priest with the dignity of the king. They combine the spirituality of the priest with the authority of a king. They combine the spirituality of the priest with the prosperity of the king. That is what God is doing. Because the anointing puts a crown on your head. In Leviticus chapter 21 and in verse 12. Leviticus chapter 21 and in verse 12. The Bible said, neither shall he go out of the tabernacle, for the crown of the anointing oil of his God is upon his head. The crown of the anointing oil of his God is upon his head. The crown of the anointing oil of his God is upon his head. The meaning of that is, the anointing puts a crown on the head of the anointed. The anointing places a crown on the head of the anointed. It places a crown on the head of the anointed. That is why when pastors are running around politicians and running around bowing down here and there and behaving like paupers, they don't know what they carry. We went to a state to do crusade. They said that the governor was out of town. Because in most of the states that we go, the governors attend. States that are not Christian governors send their deputy governor Christians to represent them. Huh? Oh, at the meeting, they do so. There are some, both the governor and the deputy are there. And their cabinets. The one we did in Mina there, the people standing on the altar with us when we are pouring the oil are commissioner of this and this and that and that. So in this particular state, they say the governor is not around. And then the deputy governor said he is available for us to pay him courtesy visit. I said, what? Tell him that we didn't come here for him. We came here for souls. Just let him be aware. Is it visitation that he is suffering me? I'm looking for who to visit. I'm looking for where to go. We went to the country of Malawi. President of the country is seated there. Cabinet is seated. Police. Everybody. How many ministers? 7 or 10 ministers. They sat through the meeting, hearing, taking notes. And you say you are president. In Zambia, the vice president was there. with other people that were there in that meeting?
Were with the Kenyan president?
And here you are saying that if you don't know the value of the oil I carry, I know the value. If you don't know, I know. It doesn't matter who does not know who you are. The worst thing that can happen to you is when you don't know who you are. Mayor of Leeds was in the meeting. After we finished, he returned back and called me and said, "You have not prayed for me." The number 120 something mayor, 127th mayor of Leeds, said, "You haven't prayed for me." I went to my seat. He said, "But Pastor, you haven't prayed for me." I returned back to the place. Mayor of Houston, Texas, the second largest state in America. Bigger economy than most nations, Houston. Do you understand what I'm talking about? The oil is a crown. It is royalty of another type, of a higher type. When we were in Area 1, somebody was making noise about our building there and so on. And I said to them, they met us here. We were here before they came. We will be here when they have gone. Many of them have gone longest time. Permanent royalties. Temporary royalties versus permanent. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Everyone here in the house who understand what I'm saying, lift up your right hand and shout the loudest, amen. Shout the loudest, amen. Shout amen at the top of your voice. Take your seat. Our first example in this regard, have I given an example at all? Our first example of royalty, of kingly priest, is the person you might call Melchizedek. He was a priest, but he came with the audacity, the royalty, the dignity of a king. In Hebrews chapter 7 verse 1, after he had met Abraham, the Bible says, "So for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, and then priest of the Most High, met Abraham, returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him." That is king versus king. Abraham was a priestly king. Do you understand that he was a priestly king? He was in the realm of wealth. Right? He was in the realm of wealth, but had a priestly inclination. And here he was meeting a kingly priest. This was a priest that had the kingship on him. And Abraham bowed. Kingly priest Melchizedek. Number two, Moses. Moses, in Exodus chapter 11 and in verse 3, God speaking about Moses in Exodus chapter 11 verse 3, "And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servant, and in the sight of all the people." Very great. This was a kingly priest. He had priesthood. With royalty, with greatness on his life. That was Moses. Number three, Samuel the prophet. In 1 Samuel chapter 9 and in verse 6, the Bible speaking concerning Samuel. He said unto him, "Behold now, there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith surely cometh to pass." An honorable man. That is the spirituality of the priest with the dignity of royalty. That was Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 4. When Samuel entered the land, the house of Jesse in Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled. It's more than a president coming. Everything shook. Because a priest that carried the cloak of a king just arrived. For example, our master Jesus. You know our master Jesus? In Mark chapter 4 and in verse 30, Jesus, okay, move on to verse 36. Jesus, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships, literally a convoy of ships. People didn't understand the stature of Jesus Christ. They didn't understand the stature. This was a man that had high-ranking people submit. Look at Luke chapter 8 and in verse 1. Look at. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. Go on. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went out 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's, one translation says, Herod's business manager, his wife, and Susanna, and many others were under his discipleship and ministered unto him out of their substance. He had the audacity to disciple Joseph Arimathea in Matthew 27 verse 47. And one of Jesus' disciples by name Joseph of Arimathea, he went to Pilate and demanded of the body of Jesus. Matthew 27, I believe that should be verse 57. This was the kind of people he discipled and pastored. He was so kingly and royal and wealthy that he had a thief as a treasurer. I won't get into that detail right now. But only a very rich man can carry Judas and give him money. Take, steal everything you want out of it. And let me see how you will finish it. When Jesus died, the cloth that he wore, the one that he wore, the overall, they cast lot to know who it will belong to. And then somebody picked it. But the one on top, the overcoat, they said, this is too much for one person to carry. So they divided it into pieces so everybody can take a portion. That was how regal and how royal he was. You are not permitted to be wretched because you are a pastor. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. Higher. Royalty belonged to us. Regalness. Regalness. Somebody said to me some time ago, he said he used to watch our program on television. Before he was interested in hearing what I was saying, he was watching how I was dressing so that he can also go and sew the same thing. I was doing evangelism in Durimi some time ago, and I saw somebody wearing the kind of dress, and I know the dresses that I was the one who originated. I know them because I mean I didn't see it from anywhere, and I designed it how it should be, and I know them. So I saw the young man wearing something like that. This dress looks like something I'm wearing. I'm preaching to him on evangelism in Durumi. I said, I like your dress. It looks like what I wear. He said, it's from you. I saw it on television. He said, it's from you. I saw it. I watched it on television. You know, he hasn't come to church yet. He says, it's from you, I saw it. He says, it's from you, I saw it, so I went and sold it. I think we are in the same class with our master Jesus, where the people were struggling for what he wore. I don't want anyone called a pastor to move about looking pitiable. harassable, tormented. Don't put yourself in such a position. That is not your calling. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Lift up your head and say after me, say in the name of Jesus, I move into the realm of priestly kings and kingly priests. I move into that realm. If you are a believer, shout the loudest, amen. Shout the loudest, amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. And let's begin to round off. Paul the Apostle will be our fifth example. In the book of Philippians chapter 4 verse 18, Paul the Apostle speaking said, I have all. Verse 18, but I have all. I have all. And I abound. I have all. Where a man can come to a point where he say, I have everything. I have all. I abound. And I am full. I am not empty. I am not dry. I am not in shortage. I prophesy that shall be the testimony of somebody here after tonight. That shall be the testimony of a pastor here after tonight. If you believe that, shout the loudest, amen. If you believe that, shout the loudest, amen. I will round off now. In contemporary times, I just shared with you little of our own experience in many realms, and there are many things we cannot share to just conserve the good heart of some people. Because there are things that some people hear and the goodness of their heart changes. One pastor came here one day and we're going in this place. He said it to my hearing, that is verbally. He said, when I see all these things happening around here and everywhere, I say, it's not fair now. Only one person. He's saying it to me. I say, really? He said, he used to think about it. It's not fair. So there are many things we will not share, but you will see them. You look at people like us. Servant Bishop David Oyedepo, Kenneth Copeland. You see the dignity. You see the one day a president came to the Canaan land and was touring around from a nation. And they drew the papa's attention. And he called the man. Oh, excuse me, sir, I heard you around here. He said, oh no, I didn't come to see you. I just came to look around. A president of I didn't come to see you. You know the kind of person the president will go and he didn't come to see. The Queen of Sheba went to King Solomon to see. Somebody is stepping there. Somebody is stepping there. Somebody is stepping there. Somebody is stepping there. Shout the loudest. Amen. The man who founded the Salvation Army, William Booth, with his wife, Catherine Booth, lay preachers from the Methodist Church. That man impacted his generation to the point that very, very few did. When he started, people thought he was wasting his time. But he went for that kind of ministry that most people didn't. Drug addicts, prostitutes on the street, criminals, people who needed legal aid. He began to build all these things and do all of these things in a short while. His reputation and everything exploded to the point where the King Edward the VII sent for him in the year of 1902 just to honor him and to appreciate his work. When William Booth died, about 1912, 35,000 people were at the funeral. 35,000 people. At that time, I thought I had a picture. That is the funeral of William Booth in England. King's, see, kings were there. Royalties, people were there. That was not a crusade. See the royal chariots. Lives that were touched. Destinies. I have not heard of a president who had this kind of funeral. There may be, but I'm not aware yet. The songwriter said, fading away like the stars of the morning, losing their light in the glorious sun, dust must we pass from this earth and is toiling, only remembered for what we have done. Billy Graham. I think very few people touch leaders and rulers and presidents up to Billy Graham. When Billy Graham arrived, London, they received him in the same place they would receive the Queen of England or the King. He was a royalty at that level. Billy Graham, that was a kingly priest. He had ministered to every president of America, from President Harry Truman, who was the president in the time of the Second World War, spanning 1945 to 1953, he ministered to Harry Truman, counseled Dwight Eisenhower, the president that succeeded Truman, and then ministered to John F. Kennedy, who is the president. Look at the pictures. And then John F. Kennedy was assassinated and succeeded by his vice president, Lyndon Johnson. He ministered to Lyndon Johnson. And then from Lyndon Johnson, you went to Richard Nixon, which was the president of the Watergate president that had the terrible scandal. Now, this president almost sank Billy Graham. In what do you call that war that they had in the Southeast Asia? What's that country? Vietnam War. His association with him almost sank him. That is why when you relate with royalties, relate carefully so that you don't sink when they sink. But what helped Billy Graham was his integrity. People knew Billy Graham. Richard Nixon was impeached. His vice president, Gerald Ford, completed his tenure. And Billy Graham ministered to Gerald Ford. Then Gerald Ford was succeeded by Jimmy Carter. And Jimmy Carter again with Billy Graham. From Jimmy Carter to Ronald Reagan, and Ronald Reagan again. Ronald Reagan was succeeded by his vice president, the senior George Bush, George H.W. Bush. And here again, we have Billy Graham with George Bush. From George Bush to Bill Clinton. And here again, Bill Clinton to the junior Bush, George W. Bush. Here again, George W. Bush to Barack Obama. He was almost going, but he still saw not Obama, Trump. They met before Trump went into office. From Harry Truman all the way to Barack Obama is about 60 years. From the year of 1945 to 2007. almost 60 solid years of one man's relevance and influence. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I will not waste my life. Somebody say, I will not waste my life. Somebody say, I cannot 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 waste my life. I cannot waste my life. Somebody said, I was not looking at any note. We have the mind of Christ. What is my counsel to you today? Number one, arise with understanding. With the understanding and mentality of your royal priesthood. Arise with the understanding and the today, let something change in your mind. With the understanding and the mentality of your royal priesthood. Psalm 49 and in verse 20, the Bible said, man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish. He is in honor. God has honored him, but he's not aware. He's running around politicians. He's messing up his life up and down. He doesn't know who he is. The assignment of tonight's opening is to cause you an understanding and a mentality to say, hey, this is who you are. Number two, accept the responsibility for your royal priesthood. Accept the responsibility. Throughout the course of this conference, we shall be dealing on responsibilities here and there. But in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, he say, but ye are a royal priesthood, a royal, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a royal priesthood, a royal priesthood, a royal priesthood. Accept the responsibility. You know, in the royal family, when the children are growing up, we hear that they put a chaperone, a coach around them from childhood to just let them know, as royalty, you don't work like this. Walk in style. Calculate your step. You don't. Public. I learned a lot of royalty from my father. He was a very audacious man. Very regal. The way I'm dressing now with this pocket square. I saw his picture of about 60 years ago. Dressed like this. One day we had a meeting in Otukpo town. We invited local government chairman, chiefs, and all of that. And he was invited for that meeting. So he came. They served people snacks and drinks, and he wasn't eating at all. So I went close to him. I said, sir, is something wrong, sir? He said, no. Royalty, don't eat in public. He said, in fact, it is a law in their traditional council that if they catch you eating in public, you are sanctioned. It belittles the authority of your crown. So it can be, you can package something for them to take, but not eating where everybody is eating. Maybe if there is an occasion where it is all their type, maybe the law may change. But for every other person, that is part of what I mean by accepting the responsibility. Are you a priest? Do what priests do. Are you a king? Do what kings do. Stand up on your feet. Do it. Do it. Do it. I used to go with my wife to bush market to buy yam. Young medical doctor. To buy chicken. I'll drive. Beans, Ghana will reside. Remember, and buy the chicken and buy all the things. Buy it. Very excited. Fresh vegetable. That just plateau area. The house had food permanently. Without spending so much. I drove myself and I enjoy driving. It's because of writing that stopped me from driving more. I enjoy driving. If I drove and I took you through a bend, you wouldn't know. But I can't do that now. My wife said, at times we are traveling from here to Makodi or Lagos. Say, see, I'm on the road. For where? We can't stop now. You have to give up to go up. There are things you must give up if you want to go up and remain up. You give up things. I can't stop to buy mouth organ. You know, you know, roasted corn. With what do they call ube? I granite and pear. No matter how interested I am interested too late now. I used to stop on the road to buy suya for my wife, Balango, from the teaching hospital. I'll stop at terminus and go to the Hausa man who is roasting ram meat. And I'll buy, we'll put the pepper by the side. And I'll take it home, open it. I can't stop for any suya man now. Evangelism will start there. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Did you learn anything here tonight? In all your interaction with royalty, one more time, ensure that you maintain all your dignity, your decorum, and your integrity. Twice or thrice, the relationship of Billy Graham, first of all with Richard Nixon, and then with George Bush, the second, George W. Bush, when he prayed for the Gulf War, and prayed and, you know, so you are sending them to go and kill people, right? You are standing behind those who are going to kill people. You are a bad man. You are not a man of God. He also stood in this Second World War with Harry Truman. In all that you do, just ensure that your stand with God is clear. And that everything is straight. And that all you do, you did with the best of your conscience. It's a new day. Lift your hands and lift your voice. And let's appreciate the King of Kings. Appreciate the Lord of Lords. Honor Him, adore Him. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Adonai. Thank you, Elion. Thank you, Rofeka. Thank you, Mekadesh. We worship you. We glorify you. We adore you. We magnify you. Worship Him. Honor Him. Adore Him. Glorify Him. Father, thank you. Adonai, thank you. Elion, thank you. Let us say, Ferete Sedi Galahurat. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. In the name of Jesus. Can we pray for 2 or 3 minutes? Would you lift up your hands? If you are a king, which means that you are in the secular world, or the non-spiritual, let's say, the world of business, the world of commerce, the world of politics, or whichever. If you are in that realm, what you are looking for is a drastic priestly mantle. Something that will cause everyone to know that you are a businessman of another type. That you carry a spiritual authority. If you are a priest, all you are looking for is such a kingly mantle. Until somebody sees you and is asking, are you an ambassador? Until they see, they are wondering, who are you and where are you coming from? This brother here, he saw me in Port Harcourt, 2012. Everybody was running to me at the airport kneeling down at the airport, receiving prayer, kneeling down, receiving prayer. He stood afar at the VIP session. He says, who is this man that everybody is going to kneel down? Let me to go and meet him. Came with his chest and his muscles. You don't need to encounter him in those days. Okay. I came and said, good morning, sir. This is who I am. I want to know who you are because everybody, I see everybody coming to you. So I said, this is who I am. This is who I am. He said, okay, I'm happy to meet you, sir. I want to surrender myself to you. On the spot, I want to surrender myself to you. Lead me, guide me, help me. Prayer was prayed for him. And that's the judge. See, he wanted to know who is this person. At that same place, somebody gave me an envelope. In five figure, in dollars. Yes. I don't know if it's that same visit, but that same airport. And that same VIP. Excuse me, sir. I'm so happy to meet you. Bam, he dropped it in my hand. I'm asking myself, did you plan to meet me here? You prepared for it? Four figure. So if you are a priest, Father, I need the kingly mantle. I don't want anybody to mistake me for a riffraff. Lift your voice now, lift your hands and pray after me and say, Father, I receive tonight the mantle of royal priesthood. I receive now. Open your mouth and pray. The mantle of royal priesthood. The mantle of royalty. I receive now. Pray! Fresh mantle of royal priesthood. I receive now. I receive now. I receive now. In Jesus' precious name. Lift your two hands and pray this prayer after me. And say, Father, I thank you for this understanding. To walk in the dimensions of royal priesthood. I receive a fresh baptism right now of this understanding. And I receive the grace to walk in this responsibility. I accept the responsibility to walk in this realm. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, open your mouth and pray. I accept the responsibility to walk in this realm. I accept the responsibility to walk in this realm, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. So shall it be. Again, so shall it be. Lift up your two hands everywhere you are. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Lift those hands high. We worship you. We honor you. I'm going to pray and you are going to ask God and you are going to receive that mantle physically upon you right now. But everyone here tonight, anywhere you are watching and you are saying to me, Pastor, my desire tonight is to surrender my life to Jesus. I want my sins forgiven. I want today to mark a new day in my life. You want your sins forgiven. You want today to mark a new day in your life. Pray this prayer after me and say, Lord Jesus. Say it louder. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life, Lord, and make me a new person. Today, I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. From today, I go forward ever, backward never. Today, I receive the grace to live for you and do your will. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Say it louder, amen.